While you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, by the way, if you use your pew Bible, that's page 1208 in the pew Bible, page 1208. Anybody need a handout, lift your hand up if you need a message handout, and our ushers are ready to give you one. Okay, if you do not have one, lift your hand up real high. Our ushers will give you one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're turning there, God really blessed Brother Bill and sent some people into his life that really enabled him to kind of fulfill a dream he had, and that was to make a new CD. And Bill has finally got that CD, and he's got a table back there in the back, and those CDs are available this morning, and they're strictly, Brother Bill said, available on a donation basis. So whatever God leads you to give, I'm sure Brother Bill's going to take that and put it right back into his ministry as he prepares to go to the mission field. So there's a box back there on the table for the donations. There's CDs. He said if you don't have money, he still wants you to have one, okay? But I can tell you this. I got the CD. And the other evening, my whole family, actually the two little ones had gone to bed, but Clint and I and Denise, and we just, we sat there in the family room and put that CD on, and we were overwhelmed at the quality of it, but the spirit in it. It's just amazing. It is top-notch quality. I mean, but, you know, some of the songs are just Bill with a guitar singing. Other ones are him and Joanne, his wife, singing in beautiful duets. Other ones have full, you know, full musical accompaniment with studio musicians, and so there's a real variety on there, and it was really awesome just to sit there, so relaxing. We turned out the lights and just put that thing on, and it was so edifying. So I encourage you to go get one of those CDs and listen to good, godly, edifying, not entertaining music, listen to edifying music during the week. It'll really help you. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul says that Christ said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I'm going to read it again. "My grace is sufficient for thee," he told Paul. Jesus said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And what he's inferring there, in Paul's weakness. Jesus is saying, "My strength is made perfect, Paul, in your weakness." Do you know, it took God a while to teach me the truth of that verse. It took a good long time before I got it. I had lived my Christian life thinking. Now follow this, because some of you, this is right where you're at. I had lived my Christian life thinking that I had to be strong enough for God to use me. And here's what I thought. I thought, I'm going to dedicate my abilities to God. And I'm going to ask God to use my abilities for His glory. If I'm strong enough, and if I do the things that a good Christian does, quote, then I'll be able to stand for God and live for God. Now, I just perfectly described some of y'all's thoughts and your ideas concerning the Christian life. I just described what you think, your thought processes. That it sounds so noble. I'm going to dedicate my abilities to God. I'm going to ask God to use my abilities for His glory. And if I'm strong enough, and if I do the right things, man, then I'm going to stand for God and live for God. According to this verse, it says in your handout that according to this verse, the question is not, are you strong enough to live the Christian life? That's not the question. The question today is not, are you strong enough to live the Christian life? The question is, are you weak enough? Are you weak enough? You see, this is the problem right here for a lot of Christians, including myself. Now listen closely, because all of you in here, You have abilities that you were either born with, or you have abilities that you've developed over the years. We all do. Everybody in here, we've got abilities. Okay? That we were either born with it, or we've got abilities that we have developed over the years. You have trusted those abilities to see you successfully through life. You have leaned upon those abilities to see you successfully through life. Here's the problem. That won't work in the Christian life. That won't work. So what do you mean? When you trust your abilities instead of trusting in God, your abilities actually become liabilities. Why? Because you are living your life in your own self-sufficiency instead of living in God's power and in God's sufficiency. And when we are living the Christian life in the power of our own self-sufficiency, you know what we can expect? We can expect frustration. We can expect burnout. We can expect discouragement. We can expect defeat. When we're doing it through our abilities, our power, and our strength, that's exactly what you can expect. No joy in what you're doing. It's just burnout and frustration and bitterness and getting mad and angry. You say, Pastor, you mean my abilities can actually become liabilities? Yes. When you begin trusting those abilities instead of trusting in Christ in you, those abilities become liabilities because they become the source of your, of your strength and the source of your life and the source of your service instead of Christ being that source. Does that make sense? Now, how do we overcome the liability of ability? Because there's nothing wrong with ability. I mean, you know, I'm not up here preaching against ability. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. But how do we overcome that tendency to trust in our abilities instead of trusting in God? Well, here's how. Number one in your handout is that God must bring us to the end of our abilities. Can I have a little bit more than the A's, Mike? God must bring us to the end of our abilities. Now, we read a moment ago here in verse 9, God said to Paul, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, we quote that verse a lot. What's the context of it? Well, this morning, we want to dive in to the first 9-10 verses of this chapter. And we want to learn God's Word. And I want you to look at it, and I want you to see the Bible, and I want you to know that we're talking about God's Word, okay, not my opinion. And I want us to see in context why Christ said that His strength would be made perfect in Paul's weakness. Why did He say that? Well, let's look at verse 1, and let's read a little bit. He said, "It is not expedient for me," Paul said, "doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." He's referring here to himself. Okay, in verse 3, he says, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise." Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And the Bible says he heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. "Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth to be, or that he heareth of me." Verse 7 is key. Look at it. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So here we are. The Apostle Paul has some incredible experiences. He's caught up to the third heaven and he hears unspeakable words. Now, Paul was a man laden with ability. From Bible texts such as Philippians 3, 4 through 6, we learn and we surmise Paul was incredibly bright, he was well educated, and he had ample amounts of energy and ability. Okay? This heavenly experience would further tempt Paul to rely on his abilities and to rely on his experiences rather than to rely on God's power. So that explains verse 7. God brought Paul into a problem that was greater than his ability to solve. Why would God do that? Why would God intentionally bring a man that's his child and bring him into a problem that's greater than his ability to solve? Here's why. Verse 7, the very beginning, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure." You see, in your handout, it says, God will intentionally allow us to get into situations that are greater than our ability to solve. He'll intentionally do it. He'll let you get in situations that are greater than your ability to solve. Why? In your handout, it says, these times are designed to bring us to the end of our self-sufficiency and learn to rest in Christ and trust His grace and His power. You see, as long as your abilities are sufficient to rise to the challenge, then you will never understand that Christ does not just give you life, He is your life. Until Christ brings us to the end of our abilities, where we get in situations that we can't manipulate, we can't figure it out, it's above us, it's over our head, we're in neck deep. And until we get in situations like that, we will continue to rely on our abilities and our strength, and we'll think it's us, and, "Oh yeah, Jesus, give me strength." No, He is your strength. He is your power. He is your life. Look, isn't that what Moses found out? Moses was a bright, educated, wealthy prince. He was the adopted daughter of the king. Everything was going for him. In fact, he had too much going for him. He was going to deliver Israel, his people, in his own power, in his own strength. And he went out and he killed that Egyptian that was persecuting that Israelite. He ended up having to flee for his life, and he ended up in a desert for 40 years. Here's a guy that was a prince. Here's a guy that was sleeping. He goes from linen sheets to a bed of straw. Here's Moses, goes from a prince to a shepherd. He goes from being like a ruler over many to now he's just got a bunch of dumb sheep he's over. Here's Moses, bright, intelligent, well-educated. And here he is with a bunch of stinky sheep. Nasty sheep. You say, "Well, I bet God really got a hold of him that month he was with those sheep." Well, I'll bet you after a month of that, he was really humbled. No, it wasn't a month. I bet you after that first year, it wasn't a year. It wasn't 4 years. 40 years. He was on the backside of a desert. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew where he was. But aren't you glad God knew? You know what the issue was? It wasn't an issue that Moses had to get strong enough to lead Israel out of captivity. It was that he had to get weak enough. You see, God had to weaken Moses in his own abilities so that he would see that it was all about God's power and God's strength and God's ability. They say that when a person is drowning, that many times someone like me that's a novice, you know, swimmer, I'm not a lifeguard or anything, and someone like me, I jump in to save them, they're all flailing and they're panicking, and what happens? They drag the would-be rescuer down with them and they both drown. Someone that's experienced knows that you have to wait until they're weakened. You have to wait until they finally have no strength left. They can't flail in anymore. And then they can swoop in, they can rescue them and bring them to shore safely. But not till they come to the end of their own strength. And it's the same way in our life. God cannot use a Christian to their fullest potential until that person has come to the end of confidence in personal abilities. Number two, we must see the all-sufficiency of Christ's strength. That's the second key. If our abilities are not to become liabilities, we have to see the all-sufficiency of Christ's strength. The Apostle Paul, man, he was beyond his abilities. So look what happens. Look in your Bible, and it says in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, we don't know what that was, but obviously it was something pretty serious. Paul had some kind of infirmity, some kind of problem, some kind of a trial, some kind of an issue, and he calls it a thorn in my flesh. And he says it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me. So obviously this was satanically induced, but God allowed it. "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it," that thorn in the flesh, "might depart from me." He was beyond his abilities. Now I want you to look at verse 9, because this is a key. "And he said unto me," Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now I want you to look at that word "sufficient." Would everybody look at that, please? Jesus said, "My grace is what? Sufficient." Do you know what that word means? It carries the idea of satisfactory. So in other words, Brother Larry, come here. Here, you're Paul, okay? And you're down here, man, you're humble. You are beyond your abilities. You're on your knees, man. Yeah, get down there with that suit on. You are down there, and you are on your knees, and you're the Apostle Paul. You've got a thorn in the flesh, and man, Satan has buffeted you, and you are seeking the Lord, and you say, "Lord, deliver me. That was pretty weak, but anyway. Then he says it again.
"Lord, deliver me."
Now he's getting into it, see. He's becoming a ham bone. All right, and then a third time.
"Lord, deliver me."
All right, now, here's the idea of this verse. When Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," here's what that word "sufficient" means: satisfactory. It's the idea of Jesus saying, "Paul, I want you to be satisfied with me." When you see the weakness of your flesh, Paul, and when you see your need of me, Paul, that's when my strength, Jesus said, can be manifested through you. I want you to be satisfied with me. My grace is sufficient. It's satisfactory. Paul, he's saying, Christ is saying, "I'm enough for you. I'm enough." And may this thorn remind you, Paul, "I'm enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you." You all see that? Is the light clicking on? Yes? Thanks, Brother Larry. You are great, man. Thank you. Many times the things that we do best in life, you got things you can do good. And many times the things that we do best and we consider our greatest assets actually become liabilities. Because we can do them in our own fleshly strength and power, and we can even look good to others while we do it. We don't need God. We do just fine without Him. We think. Some of you in here, you've got the ability to teach. It's natural. You're a people person. You can get up. You're relaxed in front of a crowd. You can get up and you can study a lesson and deliver it. You can do it in your own strength and in your own power. You have that ability. That ability can become a liability. You say, why? Because what happens is typically people like that are just natural teachers, then what they do is they know they can get by. They know they can get by and even look good to the class. So what are they doing? Saturday night or Sunday morning, they got the books open. Oh, I better get ready. The guy that struggles and the guy that, man, that he just really doesn't have that natural ability, Man, I mean, as soon as Sunday's lesson's over, he's diving in Sunday night, trying to get ready for next week. Lord Jesus, I need you. He knows how much he needs the Lord. He knows that God's power has to flow through him as he teaches. He's begging Jesus to work through him. But the guy with all the natural ability, that ability can actually become a liability. Because he starts trusting in his ability to get in front of a crowd and woo them rather than trusting in Jesus Christ within him. Does that make sense? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Some of you in here, you have the ability to make money. You just got the ability to do it. You know how to make money. And it's just something you can do. And you've always been able to do it even before you were saved and knew the Lord. Now, that can actually become a liability to you. Because you go out there on Monday to do your thing, and you do it apart from the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's all you. It's not Christ in you. It's you. These are just a couple of illustrations, but you can apply it to your life. You see, we all have stuff we're good at, and we can do it in our own power and our own strength, and maybe nobody else will know the difference. But I got news for you. There is someone who does know the difference, and that's Christ in you. And you're grieving Him. In reality, you know, whether we think we do or not, we desperately need His breath and His hand, His life on everything we do. Because without His breath and His life on it, there may be an outward shell of productivity, but there's nothing of eternal consequence happening. God wants to bring us to the point to where we recognize how much we need Him. That's in your handout. I want you to get that statement. God wants to bring you to the point where you recognize how much you need Him. And so what happens is God sends us through a breaking process. And listen, when you encounter a trial like Paul did in this text, and maybe it's a thorn in the flesh, you say, man, this is a thorn. This thing is a thorn. It may not be a physical infirmity. It may be something else. But it's a thorn in your flesh. It's not an accident that it's there. You're going through a breaking process. God is breaking you down to where you will quit relying on yourself and you'll rely on Christ. And God has no intention of helping you to get stronger. Lord, make me stronger as I go through this trial. He has no intention of making you stronger. He wants you to become so weak that now He can flow His mighty power through you. He wants you to become so weak that He can express His strength and His power through you in every situation that you encounter. God does not want us to be consumed with our abilities. He wants us to be consumed with Christ. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus possesses supernatural resurrection power, and our puny fleshly power is nothing compared to Christ's mighty power. And that's what God wants you to see. He wants you to see this in your handout. Christ's strength is all sufficient. Take your Bible and turn back real quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just go back a few chapters there. And if you look back at chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, "But we have this treasure," talking about Christ, "we have this treasure," Christ, "in earthen vessels," speaking of these old fleshly bodies. Why? Why do we have Christ in these old earthly bodies? "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Look at chapter 3, verse 5. Man, if we could only learn the truth of this verse right here. Chapter 3, verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." Paul had it, didn't he? He said, "But our sufficiency is of" who? It's of God. In your handout, it says, John 15:5. I want to read that. John 15:5. "I am the vine," Jesus said, "ye are the branches." And then Jesus said, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do" what? "Nothing." I've been reading this several times the last few messages Because from the day you've been saved, from the day you trusted Christ, from the day you believed the good news of Jesus and you were saved from your sins, from that very day that you got saved, might have been right here in this church where you trusted the Lord, from that day that you got saved, this is what God has been trying to get you to see: your powerlessness and Christ's all-sufficiency. There was a man that went to his pastor and he said, "I don't understand my life, Pastor." He said, "I have a good marriage, my kids are well behaved, our financial circumstances are secure, I'm a successful businessman," but he said, I can't seem to live the victorious Christian life. Why can I succeed in all these other areas of my life and then feel like a failure as far as, you know, living the Christian life?" And the pastor said, "You want my honest opinion?" He said, "Of course I do." He said, "I'll tell you." He said, "I think you're too sharp for your own good." And the guy looked at him. He said, "You see, you've achieved major success in every other area of your life, and people admire you for it." And he said, "You're an achiever. There's no doubt about that." The guy said, "Well, then what's the problem?" He said, "The problem is you can't achieve victory in the Christian life. You can only receive it." You see, here's the mistake he made. He thought that a victorious life is the result of trying. But it's not. It's the result of trusting in Jesus Christ to express His life through you. We have to renounce confidence in our ability. And we have to acknowledge that it is only by His indwelling life that we can accomplish anything of value. And that man had to come to that place, because God cannot use a Christian to the fullest potential, as I said earlier, until that person comes to the end of their personal abilities. And let me give you the last thing from this text. Number three, if our abilities are not to become liabilities, number three, we must view trials. Now get this, we view trials. How do we view them? We view them as opportunities to demonstrate Christ's power. Go back to chapter 12, please, and back to our text. And look at chapter 12, verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now get a load of this one. Look at verse 9. "Most gladly, therefore," Paul said, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I what? Strong." Now, that's astounding. That does not compute with 21st century Americans. Most Christians in America feel that God has really given them a raw deal if their car breaks down, or if their AC goes out, or if they can't afford vacation this year. Man, we just feel like, "Oh, why would God do this to me? He's just treating me so unfair. I mean, why would God do this to me? You mean, I can't afford a third car? Oh, God, why are you doing this to me?" Yeah, I mean, 21st century Americans are amazing. We are. We're an amazing breed. We've had such affluency and such prosperousness, and we've had so many material things, so much stuff, that this kind of stuff just, it doesn't compute, but it's got to compute. It's got to get in there, and we got to get it. Despite our culture that we live in, we've got to get this. You know, we think we're really been called on to suffer if our AC goes out in our car. Man, I've really been called on to suffer for Jesus. You know, if I can't afford to take that cruise this year, well, I tell you, you know. Paul said he gloried and he took pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and in necessities. And can I remind you that when Paul said that, it's not like he's saying, I glory in infirmities and in distresses and in necessities, and it's not like he said that and didn't have any. It's easy to say I glory in them when everything's great. It's easy to say I glory in problems when you don't have any. It's easy to say I glory in persecutions, you know, and in necessities when we're living in a $200,000 or $300,000 home. You know, it's easy to say, yep, yep, I glory in problems. But you know what? This man knew what he was talking about. Look back at chapter 11. You think you've had it rough? You think you have it hard? Look at this. Look at verse 23 of chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes, in other words, beatings, more above measure. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. In other words, with a whip, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And this man said, I glory in these things. Now, here's my question. How could Paul rejoice in problems? Here's why. Because Paul had seen the power of Christ working through him. And he had seen the eternal significance of it. If you've ever prayed and you've said, God, use me. God, I want you to use my life. If you've ever prayed that, don't be surprised when problems come. It's intended to strip you of your self-sufficiency so that Christ can work through you. In your handout, it says these problems were a reminder to Paul of how much he needed Jesus. That's why he gloried in them. Every time he had a problem, it was a reminder of how much he needed Jesus. Did you get that? Every time he had a trial, it was a reminder of how much he needed the Lord. That's why he gloried in him. He knew it was an opportunity. Every trial he had, he knew he was weak, but he knew Christ's power was great, and he knew it was an opportunity for Christ to live through him and to manifest Christ's power. In your handout, it says, God loves you so much that he will use pain, if necessary, to bring you into a dependent relationship with him. God will use pain, if necessary, to bring you into a dependent relationship on him. Recently, we went to an amusement park with the boys, and I went and parked the car, and when I came through the gate, I find out that Caleb was in the, what was it called? The first aid station. And I said, what? We've only been here 5 minutes. How can he be? We just walked in the door. How could he be in the first aid station? Well, come to find out, poor little guy, he had fallen on he had gotten splinters all through his hand. So he just had tons of. And so when I walked into the first aid kit, I walked in, and man, there was weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth because there was a fella with a prick thing, like a needle thing, and he was just digging at his hands trying to get all those things out. And Caleb, man, he was crying. It hurt, didn't it, son? And he was crying. He's like, make him stop. Make the man stop. And you know what? With all of my heart, I wanted to make that man stop. I wanted to say, take your cotton-picking hands off my son. But you know what? I knew that we had to get those out, or they could become infected, then we'd really have a problem. And I knew that even though it brought pain to him, I knew it was best for him. Many times God will bring pain into your life, not because he takes pleasure in your pain. It's because God has a purpose. He's working in your life. And He wants to manifest His power through your weakness, through that trial. He wants to become your sufficiency. He wants to become closer to you than He's ever been before. And He's working that all together for His purpose and for His good. In your handout, it says, as you renounce self-sufficiency and you rest in the all-sufficiency of Christ in you, you will witness God doing amazing things through you. Again, can I just say one thing before you put your notes up? Don't go out of here and misquote me. I am not saying that abilities are bad. Praise God for your abilities. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you have a natural ability, when you rely on the ability instead of relying on Christ, that's when it becomes a liability. But when you surrender to Jesus and you say, Jesus, these abilities, they're yours. Jesus, I'm yours. You are my life. You are my power. You are my strength. He may very well, when you get off your knees, He may very well take those same abilities and flow His grace and power through them. And now those abilities are animated by His life and by His power. Then again, He may not. He may do something completely out of the box for you. He may do something that's out of the scope of your abilities completely. So, abilities can become liabilities. How do we deal with that? Well, look in your handout. Look at it. How do we deal with that? Number one, God brings us to the end of our abilities. We said that number two, we must see the all-sufficiency of Christ's strength. And then number three, we begin viewing trials as an opportunity, like Paul did, to demonstrate Christ's power. Let's go to God in prayer this morning.